Okay, we're going to take a short break when we come back. He was the president and CEO of Microsoft, so he has the credentials. Now he's preaching safe technology, and as you drive out of Byron toward Kilworth, you'll see them putting up another one of these towers. We're going to talk about wireless radiation. Even when you read the packaging that comes with your BlackBerry or your iPhone, there's a warning. Don't hold this next to your head, because it'll do very nasty things to your brains, especially if you're a child, and you don't want that to happen. Frank Clegg joins us in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
In my previous role as the president of Microsoft Canada, I witnessed the incredible benefits that can come from technology. I also witnessed, though, the risks that can happen if technology is not implemented properly. In my opinion, current guidelines that were deploying wireless devices across Canada is a risky venture and is not safe for Canadians. I'm not saying that we should eliminate technology, but I am saying that we need to use it safer. And I don't think it's acceptable that Canada's guidelines are behind significantly countries such as China and Russia.
10:32, if you'll remember on our health segment last week, we went to Green Bank, West Virginia, and talked to people who have moved there from Grand Bend, Ontario, from all over the United States and from as far away as Europe to get away from, Pam Colleen, to get away from
the electrosmog in general. It's the radiation, it's the stray electricity coming from all sorts of appliances and so on and so on and so on.
Pam, I have wonderful news. And this comes under the heading, if you can't trust the government. Well, our government says it's not a problem.
Mm.
Not a problem.
Interesting.
This is wonderful news. We should be giving each other a high five and a big hug. This is a terrible problem that's gone away. Our government's just announced it. An expert panel's review of Canadian safety limits for exposure to radio waves, such as those produced by cell phones and wireless devices, says there is no reason to change the existing standards, and we are fully protected.
Hmm.
Do you believe that?
Not for a second, no.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What they have just said.
Yeah, and they also said thalidomide was okay as well, and they also said DDT was okay.
Frank Clegg is the former president and CEO of Microsoft Canada. Now he has a new crusade in his life, and that is to make technology safer. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
A disappointing week for you. This report, if you would explain what it is, had to be disappointing news for you.
It was disappointing, but we fully expected the report to say exactly what it said.
And the reason? Because the panel, the eight-member panel, was not exactly what you would call objective. They did not come looking for the truth. Four of them came looking for ways to protect the industry they're part of.
Well, there's even some amazing quotes that come right from the industry handbook in some of the reports. I will say there's one point, though, that I want to make sure that your audience understands that they did talk about electrosensitivity and they did recommend that Health Canada pursue that. That was, I think, that was encouraging news for us, and I think it was a surprise to Health Canada.
Well, let's start right there. Let's start with a positive. Last week, one of the three people we had on, we had two people on from West Virginia, and they've gone to this small place in the U.S. which has no microwave towers and no cell phones allowed, and they're safe from this wireless radiation. These are folks. About some say 3%, 5%, 8% of the population has this hypersensitivity. One of them was an airline pilot who's left the airline industry. She lived in London, had to move to Grand Bend, and now they've built towers there. She is suffering. Tell me, what is this sensitivity? Who has it, and what is it a sensitivity to?
Well, it's a sensitivity to the radiation. I guess the best way to explain it is sometimes when some people can smoke two packs of cigarettes a day and other people and not have an impact, and other people get cancer from secondhand smoke. We haven't yet figured out why. Radiation sensitivity is the same way. Some people could sit and put their cell phones to their ear for their lives, and other people can't even be within 10 feet of them. We don't know the why of it. We know that the electrons or the body at the DNA level, at the cellular level, does have an impact. Some of us can fend it off better than others. And so the good news in this report is that the panel, this expert panel, says specifically to Health Canada is urged, and I'm quoting it, is urged to investigate the symptoms of the sensitivity.
Why do you think they did come to that encouraging conclusion?
We were part of the expert panel, went out and asked for feedback at the end of October, and we had several people that were electrosensitive show up personally, even in a room where there was Wi-Fi, and one of them had to come in and leave right away because she was feeling the impact. I think that had an impact. Like, these are human beings, right? So even though four of the expert panel members are paid by industry, they're still trying to do the right thing to a certain point. And I think, and they even say in the document, they were impacted by the presentations from the public about this condition. And I think they... Now, but the only thing that's disturbing is the second half of the sentence says, you know, if it turns out to be true. And so they say to Health Canada, go figure out what's going on, and if this condition is actually legitimate, then you should do something about it. But they at least went back, said to Health Canada, you gotta investigate and figure this thing out.
Now, in other countries like China, Russia, Italy, Switzerland, they have guidelines that are 100 times safer than here in Canada. Why is our government ignoring these as examples?
That's what we've asked for. What we've asked for, typically when you do a huge scientific review like this, you issue something called a monograph. And what that is, it tells you specifically what studies were included and why, and what studies were excluded and why. And Health Canada, in its Safety Code 6 updates, has never issued that document. And so what we're calling for is to say, okay, you do this weight of evidence thing, which says you evaluate all the evidence and then you make your determinations. Well, what did you base those determinations on? And how can we possibly believe your study? How can we accept your study? How can it be properly peer-reviewed when you don't publish what the rules are?
Frank, you want safer technology. I remember the last time we talked to you, and I'm going to ask you to do it again, just to get people's attention. List those specific examples of technology where you think we really need to build in safeguards. Can you be specific? Because these are all examples of technology that all of us use each and every day.
Yeah, I would say, okay, you start with, there's two, I don't know how long an answer was, so let me try to be brief and you can ask more questions. There's voluntary devices such as your cell phone, the mobile phone, or the portable phone, a cordless phone in your house, the Wi-Fi units you have in your house. So you have Wi-Fi itself as a router. You would have, you said, Bluetooth devices. You have cordless, wireless keyboards and mice, game consoles. So that's the voluntary stuff you can control. We're also calling for the government to fix the stuff you can't control. So the Wi-Fi in your kid's school, the smart meter on your house, the cell tower antenna that might be on the top of your apartment building or on your street corner. So, and the Wi-Fi at work. So those are the two categories, and those are some examples of the items we're concerned about.
I'm sitting in a studio. If I stuck my head out the door and I look down the hall to the south in the lobby, I see this box in the ceiling, which looks like an angry hornet because it has all these antennas sticking out. And then I look to the north at the end of the hall, and I see another one. What are those, and what could be the impact on every colleague here at the radio station?
Well, it's think of it as a... What it is the router that gives Wi-Fi signals. That allows you to connect through your tablet or your laptop or even your phone now through a wireless connection. Our concern is that I've been in the technology industry my whole career. When you ask technology people to implement something, they put it to the max that it can to give you the best service and the best coverage. We know you don't need to go to the levels that they're at. So right now, in my opinion, everybody's getting unduly harmed because they've got this signal going out. It's bombarding you unnecessarily. So we're not saying get rid of the Wi-Fi in the workplace. What we're saying is get the standard down and make the manufacturer of that device put it down. I talked to somebody who has a Wi-Fi unit in their house, and they've got it set up. They have the technician come in, and it only gives Wi-Fi in their study or in their home office. It does not touch any of the other floors or the bedrooms or the kitchen. You can do that sort of thing.
If I went to our engineer right now and I asked him, what is the setting on that router in the lobby? What is the setting on that router on the in the North Hall? Would he even know?
I'll tell you what, if he doesn't know, he could find out. But I suspect... in fact, I even met you a coffee that he's put it on the max because he's, and that's not his fault, right? His job as your IT person is to give you the best service he possibly can.
He wants
can.
A good signal. That's all he's concerned about, so he doesn't get complaints.
Absolutely. So he's doing his job. I suspect if he doesn't know whether it's on channel 10 or not, up to the max, he can find out for you for sure.
I talked to someone who listened to this show and who listened to you the last time you were on, and you were saying the same thing. They went to their home router, and apparently some of them have the adjustment available and some don't, but it was cranked right up to 10. And he cranked it down to 2 and still had a very good signal. And he said, that to me was a wake-up call that I'm pumping this powerful signal into my 3-year-old and 5-year-old kid when I could have that signal turned right down to 1/5 of that.
And I hope he put it on a timer at night, so because you don't need the signal at night. And so when everybody goes to bed, it automatically shuts off and there's 0. So instead of being at 2, it's at 0.
Now, the last time you were on the show, you were talking about a victory, and it had to do with the towers themselves. Can you explain what that decision was based upon?
Well, what we're finding is that if we've got, I think, 2 or 3 dozen situations on our website now where we're helping people in cell tower battles. And if there's a particularly egregious one, in other words, like if it's a huge tower right by a playground or right, you know, within 100 meters of a residential community, the local folks there can organize, and what they do is they put pressure on their council, the local councils, and educate. So before even the pressure starts, they actually educate councils, because a lot of people don't understand this issue, and a lot of people don't understand they can do something about it. Because Industry Canada comes in, and the proponent will come in. So Val Rogers will come in and say, hey, you can't do anything about it. Industry Canada will overrule you, and that's not true. So we educate the local team on what they can do. So what you do is you get a motion passed in council that says, we don't support this tower. And then what that does, it causes the proponent to go back and work with the town to have either other alternative locations found. We've had towers moved. We've had them canceled outright. We've had them go to impact where several months later, the Industry Canada always rules in favor of the proponent.
But the companies putting up these towers are a little bit like our engineer. They want the best signal, so they get the fewest complaints.
Yes, that is a true statement that they want the best signal. But we've now got public documents from Bell, Rogers, and Telus, where they've accepted in residential communities lowering the radiation levels. In one case in Toronto, the Rogers deal that they've signed with the City of Toronto on Toronto properties, 100 times less than Safety Code 6. Bell made a presentation in Mississauga at 10,000 times less than Safety Code 6. And Telus signed a deal out in a small community out in BC at that same level, 10,000 times less. So the industry's told us, you know, private, not me, other people, parents or homeowners, they say, we could take this down a lot, but I'm not going to spend the money unless my competition does too.
Frank, I appreciate that. Just hold that thought. We have to take a short break. We'll be back with more with Frank Clegg, who wants to make technology for you and your kids and your grandkids and your neighbor's kids safer when Ottawa's not entirely sure there is a serious problem. We'll be back with Mr. Clegg in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Hey, let's face it, folks. We not only love our technology, we are absolutely addicted. I keep coming back to that figure, Pam, which I just can't believe that more people in the world have smartphones than have toilets. I mean, is that a wake-up call or what? We're talking to Frank Clegg, former president of Microsoft Canada, now the head of something called Canadians for Safe Technology. What are you trying to do with this organization, Frank? I need to push a button. There we go, Frank. I'm sorry, I had to push one little button. Talk about technology. What are you doing with your organization, Canadians for Safe Technology, Frank? What's the mission?
Well, there's two. One is to educate parents and Canadians around the potential harm and how to use the technology safely. We are Canadians for Safe Technology, not No Technology. Second part of the mission is to really work with governments, all levels of government, to make the use of technology safer for all Canadians.
I think the response that we get whenever we have you on, the number one area, sort of ground zero in this whole issue, is children in school with these industrial strength routers. Is that what you're finding?
Yeah, so if you ask me of all the presentations and all the meetings I have, I would say the one I'm the most frustrated with is board trustees who I will say hide behind Safety Code 6. Now, in fairness to them, to be fair, they don't have the expertise. But what we've been trying to embolden them is to say, look, you have to do something special. There's nothing in Safety Code 6 that specially protects children. There's nothing in there. They treat children the same as adults. And the child's brains absorb more radiation. Their skulls are thinner, so it's more penetration. Their bones are growing. So there's more radiation that penetrates the child's body, and it stays in the child's body longer. And so this is where our focus on safety on the Health Canada is to say you have to do something special for children. We've got a study that shows within 4 hours, somebody holding a Wi-Fi device on their lap that had an impact on the sperm in the body. So and we've got connections linked from a Harvard medical school professor who's linked it to some forms of autism. We've got a Yale University professor and his group that did a study. Again, these studies are all peer-reviewed, scientific published. A study from the Yale group that showed when they exposed pregnant mice to a cell phone radiation, the offspring had, if they were humans, they had ADHD-type symptoms. So there, we know there's a connection. Now, not all children will be affected, but school boards are putting it in for all kids. So, if you have 60,000 children in your school district and 3% of them are affected, there's 1,800 children that are going to have. Now, the problem is that nobody knows its symptoms. The symptoms could be a headache. So the parents could be going to the doctor, treating the symptoms, and getting the children may even need some medication to help them survive. And it goes back to the Wi-Fi in the school.
Now, have you had any victories in that department lately? I know we've announced a couple on the show before, Andy. We've even had a principal.
Schools.
Yeah, the private schools.
Yeah, we're having some successes. There's two or three private schools, Montessori schools in the area that get to make the decision. The biggest, the only school board in the country that I'm aware of is out in B.C., out in Kootenai, B.C., and they have said zero in elementary schools and only a 25% coverage of the area in the secondary school. So they're acknowledging it. The frustration is we talk about kids. Belgium, as of March 1st, it is illegal to sell a phone or market a phone to a kid under 7 years of age in Belgium. So there are places around the world. There are one school district in Canada.
Now, to be clear, you're talking about converting over from wireless to wired, correct?
Well, even if you give, there's one simple thing you can do. You can give the teacher the ability to turn the router off in the classroom, so that you download the information onto the machine, and whatever the device is, you turn the router off. There's no exposure to the kids. They do the lesson, and they proceed. Or we've approached several school boards, and they won't even do that. So,
really?
So it's not saying you have to go and spend the money to wire. But I will tell you for sure, any new school built in Canada today should be wired. The extra money to do that is insignificant, and it's staying in front of the harm. You said at the top of the show, there's a long list of things that we took too long on. Well, let's add asbestos and tobacco to that list. Like, how many people got sick from those two things? Asbestos in schools. It took forever.
Well, we need critical voices, and we're thankful that you're out there doing this work, because otherwise, it would be a free-for-all, I think.
Okay, real quick question from Stan. Go ahead, Stan.
Is there any evidence that this condition you were talking about here affects multiple sclerosis or fibromyalgia?
It's interesting. The symptoms can show up as MS symptoms or fibromyalgia symptoms, absolutely. And so the problem is, and what Austria did, and this is the other thing that we've asked Health Canada to consider, is they put together a questionnaire for your family physician. So when you sit down, they've got a three-page questionnaire to go through all the symptoms. Because what happens now is you go through and you have all these symptoms, and they say, well, we don't know what else it can be, MS. And so yes, we know that the symptoms are absolutely similar, and I worry that people are being misdiagnosed with MS when they could be reacting to the wireless radiation around.
Okay, we're quickly coming to the end of our program, and I just want to make sure that people have a takeaway, Mr. Clegg, and that is this: you are warning about to wireless radiation from smart meters, from cell tower antenna, from smart and portable phones, baby monitors, wireless personal tracking devices. Let's go through each of those very, very quickly. What can we do about them? Let's start with smart meters.
Well, the smart meter, what you have to do, or what the only thing you can do is in Ontario, you can actually go to your utility and ask them to give you an alternative to a smart meter, or you can have them move it off your house. So that you have the ability to do that. We're trying to build a group to go back to the government, because there's been some reports that show that this whole business case around the smart meters, It's falling apart. There is no justification for it. And what I'd like to, because right now they're going to start putting them on this grid, and they're going to be unnecessarily, again, it goes back to weight, they're going to be communicating way more than they need to. They don't need to communicate your power urges four times a second. Every 4 seconds. That's completely unnecessary.
Okay, cell towers. We're seeing a new one just west of Byron. What about those?
I think you get on our website and send us an email, and we will send you a kit that we can help you organize the folks in your area to educate your counselors and have your counselors jump in the middle of this thing and send a message to Health Canada and Industry Canada and help us raise awareness and at the same time put the pressure on the proponent to not put it up if it's near schools or homes.
Real quickly, cordless phones.
Just get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
Yeah, there's no way to deal with that. You can't. Those things, even if you have it in this base, it's still radiating. And it is radiating like signals. We've seen signals from cordless phones way beyond what your microwave oven does with the door closed. So those things are just a disaster. Unfortunately, they're convenient. Buy a long cord and just live with the inconvenience.
Cell phones?
Okay, don't put it to your head. Never talk to it on your head. We're seeing young ladies now put it in their bra. There's a show on Dr. Oz where a young woman feels she got a cell phone. She got cancer from her bra because of where she put her phone. And guys, don't put it in your pocket. Just get it away. Keep it away from your body. And children under the age of 7, I'll use Belgium. It's not a toy. You should not be using it. Moms, don't hand it to your child as a little pacifier. Keep it away from kids.
Baby monitors.
I don't think they should be in the room. I think you should use a video once for sure. Get it out. You don't need to see something. Yeah, I'd go on eBay and I'd buy an old-fashioned one that does that just does the voice and keep that unit at least 10 feet away from your child's crib.
It's all scary stuff, Pam.
Yeah, it's scary. They're putting out a new technology. It's not really tested. They're just seeing what happens. We're all guinea pigs in this experiment.
There's Dr. Blank, who's part of our advisory group. He wrote a book called Overpower. He's got a great line in there. He said, right now we're assuming the industry is innocent until proven guilty. And we've got that completely backwards. They should be able to prove that they aren't harming people before they're allowed to.
Well, it's a cigarette science, isn't it?
That's a good line. It is absolutely cigarette science.
Yeah.
Okay. Frank, leave us with something hopeful. You were very discouraged by this report.
Yeah. Report. But I am hopeful. I am hopeful. Health Canada is for the first time. We've been trying for 2 years to get in to see them. We've had 2 meetings in the last 3 months. And I think they're listening. I think they know that the whole Royal Society report was a waste of taxpayer dollars, and they do not want a repeat of that. So we had an amazing meeting Tuesday afternoon, actually, with one of the senior policy advisors to the minister. I'm optimistic, but I'm still cautious that they are listening a lot more than they were a year ago. I'd like people to go to our website, c4st.org. There's on our front page, send a letter to Minister Ambrose and ask her to really open up a transparent process. There's a whole email shtick that we'll make it easy for you to do. If anybody on the phone is, that's what they can do to help us.
One more question. Do you let your grandkids play or work with an iPad?
I do not have grandchildren. My wife and I are in a huge argument with our daughter about her iPad. she's a naturopath, and she can't find another tool that can help her when she's meeting with
the patients. World loves the iPad, and maybe they could hardwire them.
I think there needs to be pressure on Apple to hardwire it. I know I'm gonna win this discussion with her. She's gonna buy another tablet that can be hardwired, and she gets all the functions she needs. She can meet with her patients, and she doesn't have the risk.
Terrific. Frank Clegg, always a pleasure, always an eye opener. We thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to let people know more about our interesting topic.
Thank you, Frank. And also, again, his website is www.c4st.org. And I have some classes going on at the library right now. If people want to look at the times and dates, please go to my website, which is just pamcolleen.com, and click on upcoming events.
Terrific. Wow. What an hour. Thank you, Pam Colleen. 11 o'clock news on the other side. Ooh.